Reed's Ranch is proud to partner with Marcos Garza and the Garza Law Firm. Spring is peaking. Spring is close to spranging. The madness is upon us. It's going to be time to have some watch parties, to do some all-day drinking. Well, if you do that, take an Uber. Don't be out on the roads. Don't make a mistake. But if you or a loved one, or just someone you kind of know, needs a lawyer, needs to get out of a jam, Marcos Garza and his team are the best in Tennessee. Give them a call at 865-540-8300. 865-540-8300. Or you can chat with someone 24/7, 366 at garzalaw.com. Marcos and his team have been serving East Tennessee for a long time. And they've been doing it at an elite level. A Rick Barnes type of 800 win level. But they won't choke when it matters. No, come on, cut that out. Positive vibes only. GarzaLaw.com. He's got your back. He's got your six. Before you say guilty, say Garza.
I mean, this is the last stand.
You're listening to The Unfiltered.
Well, I hate to say I told you so.
There's nothing to be done besides to get on Twitter and tweet to all my dumbass followers.
But I told you so.
Hey, I told you so.
The controversial.
He's a dumbass.
He can't do math.
He's an idiot.
He gets his haircut at Walmart. Look at that shitty haircut.
The realest podcast in the Southeast.
Let the dogs loose. Let the goons be goons. 11 in a row. 11 in a row. 11 in a row.
Enough.
38 in a row. As in 38 unanswered points when we were whipping that ass.
Ranch gang, stand up. The holy war is upon us. Welcome to Reed's Ranch, the podcast with Seth Hughes.
Like, just quit acting like this is any fun at all.
Another edition of Reed's Ranch. It is Tuesday, February 27th. Seth joins me down in Alabama. What's up, Seth?
What's up, John? It's good to hear your voice. Good to see you.
Good to hear your voice. I cannot see you. You can see me, so that's interesting. I feel a little vulnerable here. You're just a black screen. Do I look handsome?
You look very handsome. I was going to say that.
Whoa. That's weird. My eyes really itch, though. Allergies kicking my ass up here.
It's allergies.
It's one of the worst feelings.
Have you been to like an immunologist or whatever to get checked out? We are both drinking a Gatorade Orange Zero. It's crazy.
We are twins. Well, sort of. You're much better looking and in better shape. Just casually went and ran a marathon this weekend.
Half. It was just half.
Still, I didn't even know you were training for one.
Well, I didn't. I mean, like the 2 weeks prior, I was like, okay, I have to get ready for it. So I started like cranking it up to like 8-10 miles a time.
I feel like that's pretty good to go casually run a 9-minute half marathon.
Yeah, I was a little surprised by my pace because I wasn't trying to. About mile 10, I was like, okay, it's time to get this over with. And I just started, like, putting my head down and just, like, going as fast as I could to get it over with. But, yeah, it felt good. It was good.
Did you have a running buddy?
Yeah. My best friend from church.
Oh, no, Luke.
So he's a good bit younger, but he works with me now. And so he asked me, like, in November at church one Sunday. He was like, you want to run one in February? And I was like, sure, yeah, I'll do it. It's his second one he's ever done. So you choose your pace. You tell them what your pace is going into it. And I said 10-minute mile. And so, like, if you're, like, a 7-minute mile, you started, like, 30 minutes before us or whatever. And so the guy that won the marathon, he started 30 minutes before me, and he finished about 5 minutes after me. He ran his marathon in like 2:30.
Every marathon do that?
I have no idea.
I've never considered that people start at different times, but obviously that makes sense and helps people get spread out. But I've never considered that.
I have no clue. I have absolutely no idea.
Yeah, I was thinking we would do a podcast on Sunday. And then I saw that you were in Atlanta running a half marathon. I said, well, never mind, not doing that. So here we are today on Tuesday.
Yep. I thought about, you had mentioned Sunday last week, and I was like, man, maybe when I get back. And I got back Sunday afternoon, and I went immediately to sleep.
Yeah, I didn't even bother asking. I knew better than to ask. So all good. We're here on Tuesday. We're recording and doing this with the same software I've been using with Cody, the world's greatest podcast in America. Go subscribe on YouTube and Spotify and Apple and all those things. So if it sounds different, bear with me because this is me and Seth's test run. I anticipate no hiccups, but it's going to cut a lot of time out for me on the back end. So I'm excited and got the live stream going for the patrons, except Seth doesn't have his camera on right now. But maybe in the future you'll be able to see Seth, at least for live recordings, patreon.com/ReedsRanch. All right, so what do you want to talk about? Tennessee athletics, things have gone well since the last time we spoke. The basketball team is taking care of business. They are back in first place in the SEC, control their own destiny. I venture to say that this isn't a hot take to say that they control their own destiny for a one seed as well.
That was going to be my first question. The one thing I wanted to ask you is, do you believe that Tennessee can get a one seed? And if so, what do they have to do?
I definitely would be surprised if they went 4-0 during the stretch of all quad one games, won the SEC, which I feel like should be considered the second best conference in America.
Behind the Big 12.
I don't know. I haven't seen as much talk about the Big 10 this year, but I think the SEC is better than the Big 10 this year.
Yeah, surely it is.
I mean, the way Michigan and Michigan State are down, Ohio State sucks. Like, surely no one's trying to prop up that conference in terms of being better than the SEC that has three top eight KenPom and net ranking teams. So, yeah, I mean, I think if Tennessee wins out, adds four more quad one wins to their resume, let's assume that Florida also beats Alabama, which I think they will. That would solidify Florida as a quad one game. So that would put Tennessee at 9-5.
Okay. First of all, I'm a little annoyed that I'm having to check KenPom every morning to see if, or check net rankings every morning at work, see if Florida State a quad one win. It's getting a little annoying. Yesterday it wasn't. This morning it was.
It is dumb that they're right on the cutoff, and that might be the difference of like, well, Tennessee deserves a one seed, or oh no, sorry, they're one quad one win short shy of being considered a good team.
Secondly, Jay Billis said Saturday morning, and not that Jay Billis is the paragon of, you know, the standard here, but he said he thought Tennessee had to win out completely, which I thought this was, so five regular season games, three SEC tournament games to go 8-0 to get a one seed, which I thought was ludicrous. That is ludicrous. The idea that Tennessee would have to go 8-0 to get a one seed. I guess I just feel like if they're even remotely comparable to Arizona, they're going to give it to Arizona based on geography.
That's also been annoying to me because, you know, obviously I don't speak for the team. I don't speak for Rick Barnes, but I don't care about geography. I would rather be the one seed.
It's absolutely – so here's another thing that bothers me is that when you see these brackets, and obviously if Tennessee's not a two seed, that means that theoretically they would have to match up with the one, which sucks, whatever. But they don't put us in – obviously they're not putting us in Arizona's bracket when we're the two.
It's making me very angry, the same exact thing, because, yes, the best two seeds should be matched up with the worst one seed. That's how it should work.
It's absolutely outrageous to me that we could possibly, and I would say at this point, I just assume this is what will happen. We'll be the two seed and Purdue's one. And I got to be honest, I'm not a bitch, but I hate that idea. I hate the thought of that.
You're not going to be scared of Purdue, but it's the principle of the matter.
I don't want to have to play Purdue again in a game that matters. I don't want to have to play Purdue again, period. I don't want to have to play Zach Edey. I don't want to have to watch them play football against us. I don't, like, it's so dumb to me. We did the same thing with the baseball last year. They don't do it by geography. And baseball is different, right, because these guys aren't playing. These guys aren't flying. But basketball, this is the biggest moneymaker the NCAA has. It ought to be the fourth overall seed matches up with the fifth overall seed, and There's plenty of Tennessee alum in Los Angeles.
I mean, I would imagine if you're talking about Sweet 16 and Elite Eight games that, that Tennessee fans will travel. I would imagine that any fan base will travel. So like the ticket sales to me isn't that or shouldn't be that big of a detriment because they could easily send us to Boston or Texas as well, and both of those are places you need to fly to go to.
Like last year, I had a plane ticket booked for the Friday morning in New York City if we'd beaten FAU. Like, we will go. If Tennessee's playing in the Elite Eight, I'm going to be there. It doesn't matter where it's at. Like, Tennessee
fans are
gonna
go. Some of us are more vaulted up. Some of us got on the plane and went to the Sweet 16 game.
Yeah, I know.
Now, granted, some of us don't have real jobs and have real responsibilities, so I got to give that caveat as well.
You know, I agree. Tennessee fans will travel. It's just I hate the discourse around it. I hate this. Like, I saw Lenardi, and I know, Lenardi is not the best bracketologist. I know this can be said a million more times in the Discord and just in general. I understand that. However, he is the bracketologist with the biggest media footprint. And his bracket will change from when I go to bed to when I wake up without any games played that matter. He will have North Carolina as a 5 and Tennessee as a 6, and then he'll have it flip-flopped again the next weekend, the next day. I mean, I know that the NCAA tournament put North Carolina 5 two Saturdays ago, which was outrageous, to be honest, but whatever. But Tennessee's clearly the 5th seed.
Well, I do believe that it'll be impossible to make the case that Tennessee doesn't deserve a 1 seed if they go 4-0.
Yeah.
I know some people think 3-1 might get you there. I don't buy that. I think Tennessee is fighting uphill. I think they have to go 4-0.
Yeah, I agree. I think they have to go 4-0 too. Because I think you're fighting geography. I think you're fighting a bigger name brand.
We're also fighting an entire region of the country too. Like I know when you say geography, that's kind of what you mean. Yeah. But like you're fighting an entire West Coast fan base and like, you know, having West Coast representation out there.
Yeah, because basically the way I see it, and this could be wrong, this is just the way I see it, is that they keep a West bracket basically for Gonzaga, UCLA, and Arizona.
If 100%.
If one of those teams can be a 1 seed, they will get it. You have to go so far above and beyond those three teams to get that 1 seed over them.
Now, on the flip side, if Tennessee is the 1 seed out West, are you fine if Arizona is the 2 seed out West?
Yeah.
Okay. Because, I mean, some people might bitch and say, oh, we got to go to the West Coast and play a West Coast fan base and out West and people that are used to the time change and blah, blah, blah. Like, because that would be them matching up the worst 1 seed with the top 2 seed. So I was just curious.
If you told me right now Tennessee was the 2 and Arizona was the 1 in the West bracket, I would be fine with that as well. They're clearly the least of the 1 seeds. They're really good, they're really well coached, but I mean, I would rather play Arizona than Houston before I'd rather play Purdue and UConn. And I know what the advanced stats say about Houston and all that stuff, and I know how good they are on defense. I'm just saying, like, to me, UConn is clearly the best team in the country. That's just me and the eye test.
Well, it's also they deserve the respect as defending champions, and Danny Hartley is a maniac, and like I just don't want any parts of them.
Yeah. Now, what if I'm Purdue or Houston? What I'm thinking right now is I really don't want Kentucky to be the 4 seed in my region. That's what I'm thinking if I'm Purdue and Houston and Arizona. Is I really, really don't want Kentucky to be the 4 seed because, I would not want to play them right now.
Is it fair to say they're more dangerous than any 3 seed right now?
Yeah.
On one hand, they lost to LSU last week, but I do agree that their ceiling is as high as anyone in the country.
Yeah.
And that would be a tough Sweet 16 matchup.
There is no excuse for losing to that LSU team. However, it was kind of fluky. I mean, the guy threw the ball in from as he was falling out of bounds right to the guy.
Yeah, but blowing the 12 or 14-point lead, whatever it was.
I agree completely. That being said, I would not want to be the one when they are in the top half of the bracket, be it as a 4 or a 5.
I've made it a mission. I've talked about it. I'm trying not to even really pay attention to bracketology just because you're going to get every permutation at some point.
Yeah.
This season with all the matchups. You're going to get projections that don't make sense. You're going to get rankings that don't make sense. And like you said, Lunardi is not even any good. He's barely top 100 out of like 174. I think he ranks at 98th. Jerry Palm, who has the second biggest platform, he ranks down at like 147th or something
Jerry
like that.
Jerry Palm has absurd. I haven't even looked at his in like a month or whatever. Like, I don't even check his daily.
He has North Carolina as a one seed right now.
Now, I don't care what anybody tells me. Jerry Palm hates UT. He hates Tennessee because he hates the fans. Because we are very vocal on Twitter.
Tread lightly. Jerry Palm is a friend of the morning show. He has been on the radio show, so he's a friend of mine, so be careful.
I'm just saying, I'm justifying his hatred of UT. I would find our fans annoying, too.
Yeah, it would be hard to be unbiased when it came to us.
Yes, it would be.
And most likely you would come on the side of, I hate these people. Especially like the vocal, loud people. And I acknowledge the irony dripping off of me saying that, but I don't really send too many tweets these days. And I don't really argue with too many of the national media people.
Yeah.
Too often. Like every time you go through somebody's replies, there's going to be a lot of orange in there.
Yeah, big time.
You're typically only going to find me in the quote tweets, never in the replies. But so, I'm pumped for tomorrow. I got my tickets, going with my boy Ryan. He's giving me his extra ticket. So Big Game John will be in the building. Are you worried about Auburn tomorrow? Because I've listened to some national college basketball people, some gambling people. I've looked at the analytics, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, everyone's kind of bracing for a coin flip game, which I thought was a little surprising.
This morning, I thought to myself that I am so not nervous about the game that I should be, because they are a good team, and I shouldn't just assume that we're going to beat them. Of course, I don't play, so it's just difficult to see us losing, right?
Losing at home at this point would be pretty jarring for me.
Yeah, I agree.
I understand that, you know, Barnes hasn't done very well against Bruce, you know, recently. Is it 2-7 in our last 9?
I don't
against
even know.
Auburn?
I don't even know.
It's either 2-7 or 2-9 in our last 11. I think it's 2-7 in our last 9. And one of those wins, of course, one of the ugliest basketball games of all time last year.
Yeah, I had forgotten about that until this morning. Last night when they were talking about it in the Discord.
Well, I will say that the coaching staff hasn't forgotten about it, because assistant coach Greg Polinski, who comes on the morning show every day, 7 to 10 a.m., he comes on weekly, and he's made like 3 or 4 jokes about that Auburn game so far this year. So, like, they are well aware of how ugly that game was and how dreadful the offense was at times last year.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that they are desperate to not repeat that.
Jalen Williams for Auburn is out, right?
I saw an update saying he was getting on the plane and coming, but was doubtful.
Okay.
That's the last I've seen about it. So if something's came out since this morning, someone posted in the Discord that update.
I don't really know how Auburn even scores points, and I've watched them a couple times. I don't even know how they score points. Like, I don't really understand how they are as good as they are, if that makes sense. Kind of like UT last year, almost.
I've only watched, you know, 3 or 4 of their games this year, and I've come away just kind of repulsed.
Yes,
each time.
Exactly. Yeah, I am too. They're gross. They're disgusting. That's part of the enmity I have for them, is that they are nasty. I imagine it's how people felt watching us last year. I mean, they are a gross team. They can muck it up. Can we still muck it up, I guess, is the question.
But yeah, like, you control your own destiny. 4 games, 4 quad one opportunities. 3-1 is almost assuredly going to get you an SC. Or maybe I shouldn't say almost assuredly. But like, if you go... Yeah, if you lose tomorrow night, you're really fighting uphill. Like, if you beat Auburn, you still, I think, have a 75% chance of winning the SEC, even at 3-1.
I know that we do co-champions and all that, blah, blah, blah. I really want to be the one seed in the SEC tournament.
Just because it says that you won the championship outright or whatever?
Yeah, it's the real champion. It's the real champion. Yeah, it's the real champion.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, we would have to do an about face in terms of, 2018, where we pretended like, hey, a split's just as good as winning it outright. Doesn't matter what seed you are in the SEC championship. But that's okay, yeah, because we are the facts.
That's right. We control the narrative. I just really want the number one overall seed in the SEC tournament. Like, I mean, to me, that is the – this team is clearly the best team in the SEC.
And I would personally like getting the early games in the SEC tournament.
That's how I feel.
Personally.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to some patron questions. Patreon.com/ReedsRanch. I have said that every new patron between now and the tournament, I add $10 to the prize pool for the Reed's Ranch March Madness bracket pool. Two people have taken me up on that so far. Shout out to new $5 patron Nathan Graham.
Shout out, brother Nathan. We love you and appreciate you.
And new $2 patron Dustin McMurray.
Shout out, brother Dustin. We love you and appreciate you.
All right, let's hit some questions.
Brother DF asks, thoughts on the Air Force member burning himself alive?
Okay, so this is real.
Yes, this is real.
Okay, because I saw it, where I initially saw it was a Twitter account that I didn't really trust. One of those political things that you never really know if they're telling the truth or what. But I haven't clicked on any videos or stories trying to look at it. So this is real. A member of the Air Force has set himself on fire outside of an embassy protesting the genocide in Palestine, correct?
Correct, yes. Aaron Bushnell, Nathan Bushnell, I think his last name was Bushnell. I'm pretty sure his last name was Bushnell. Yes, it's real. He set himself on fire in front of I guess the Israeli embassy. But that would make sense, but I don't know which embassy, yeah.
Now what?
Exactly, now what? I mean, I don't think that this should be applauded. I don't think this should be glamorized or lionized. I mean, I don't think that killing yourself like this is a good thing. I mean, I think that it's pretty bad. I don't think that it's going to change policy, because I don't think policy should be changed on the whims of somebody that is in the mental headspace to do this kind of thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, not to downplay the effort, but it is still like one person doing it as well.
Like, obviously, what is happening in Palestine is atrocious. It's horrible. It's terrible. I also don't think policy is going to be decided because of the actions of one man that, like, nobody knows, who lights himself on fire and kills himself.
And correct me if I'm wrong, didn't make a big show out of it. Well, I mean, I know getting lit up ablaze by yourself and having a fire is a spectacle, but I mean, like, was there a buildup leading to him doing this?
I don't believe so, no.
Like, did anybody know he was going to do this, or did he just kind of do it and you found some letters or some posts saying why he did it?
No, I just think he was like your standard communist.
Well, I think back to like those hunger strikes that we read in that book, you know, with the Price sisters and, you know, about the troubles in Ireland.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that was like an ongoing, like, 60-day thing.
Yeah.
That really had time to resonate. You know, that's kind of what I thought of when you were talking about this story, just those people that were like, hey, we want to get tried as not as war criminals or not as, like, traitors, but, like, we're prisoners. This is war. We want to get sent back to our country and not be stuck in these prisons. And they're like, we're not going to eat.
Yeah. What I liked most about that book was like the fact that like basically all the communists were informants. They were all like the whole thing, like the whole IRA, all the communists, like the lead brute that they had beating up everyone, that their head torturer was a federal informant for like 2 decades. They were all informants. That's what I loved about that book. Tremendous book. But yeah, he lit himself on fire and now he's dead. And you know.
The picture was real? Was there a real picture that came out of it?
That picture is real, yes.
Okay. Next question.
Brother Mason asks, for John, when you started this Discord 5 years ago, did you still think it would be around in 2024? It's been around longer than 5 years, correct?
I was going to say, I thought we started like in 2018, but I'm not sure.
What year did we lose to LSU in basketball with Anthony Jordan as the ref? Was that not 18?
No, that was 19, wasn't it?
Okay.
Because it cost us the SEC championship.
Yep.
Grant and Admiral's last year together.
And I remember breaking my laptop that day on the Discord. Like, I was posting on the Discord at my parents' house, and I slammed my laptop down and broke it when we fouled that dude.
What year did we lose to Georgia State? 2019?
Yeah.
I know it had been around for a bit before then, but maybe not the full year. Maybe just, you know, 6 months or so. Yeah. But to answer your question, you know, I don't know what I thought was going to happen with the Discord. I'm happy it's still around. I'm happy I've got so many new friends and people I talk to every day. Just the best group chat around. And quite frankly, I get a lot of my news here. I don't get on X as much, formerly known as Twitter, because the good people of the Discord post all the good tweets in there and all the stories I need to see.
Yep.
All the Tennessee news gets put in the Tennessee channel. Whether it be basketball, baseball, or football, we get all that. The Everything Good Tweets channel has all the good tweets. The political channel has, I don't really go in it too much anymore, but I'll find some news stories in there every now and then. The dating channel gives me all the crazy hypotheticals on the internet. I don't have to go on Reddit to find those anymore. It's a great tool, and I appreciate everyone that's a part of it. But I can't imagine that I thought it was going to be going strong 5 years later, if I'm being honest, Mason.
Brother Jonathan Toy.
Many have broken their oath. Many have come and gone. They have said they wouldn't log off, and they have logged off. Some come back, some don't.
Brother Jonathan Toy, tremendous human being, asks, what did you find more tiring this weekend, running a half marathon or listening to journalists give their takes on court storming? I mean, it's the court storming Discord is as nothing makes me roll my eyes more than the court storming Discord or field storming discourse. Like, all of this because Kyle Filipowski lied about what happened. And then he gets caught lying. And now he's not even pretending to be hurt anymore. Was he just embarrassed? I mean, it's so dumb. It's so dumb. It's so tiring. Like, Jay Billis wants people arrested, right?
That's what he said.
Think about that for a second. He wants people arrested.
Thrown in jail. He said, or given a citation.
It's so dumb. I saw an idea that, like, you do a shot clock. When the game ends, you do a shot clock. And that, like, lets everybody, it gives time for everyone to get off. And then you can storm. I think that's fine. I just don't think that, I don't think the solution is to not storm the court. I think you should let college kids be college kids.
Let's also get these players to hustle up a little bit off the court instead of walking. How about you jog a little bit?
But just the fact that they want to do this wholesale policy change around something that is a lie. Kyle Filipowski was not injured. Okay, he was definitely not purposefully injured, and he wasn't even injured.
There's been more of an outcry for Filipowski than there was Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, well,
I don't care about whether or not she flopped or fell or whatever, but, like, she went to the ground.
Yeah.
She is much more famous and impactful than Kyle Filipowski. She is the biggest college basketball star in the country.
Is Kyle Filipowski even good? Is he good? Do we know?
He's one of those guys, I don't know if he's actually good in college, but, like, he's a top 10 draft pick.
Is he really? Okay.
Like, in some of the mock drafts I've seen, he's still, like, getting mocked around the top 10.
Okay.
Not, like, number, like, not, like, top 3 or anything, but, like, somewhere between, like, 7 and, you know, 12, maybe.
Okay.
So, but, like, I don't know if he's any good in college. Like, he's one of those guys that is a 5-star that should be good in the NBA at some point, or at least a NBA rotation guy. But, like, it's crazy to me that we're more worried about him than a court storming that put Caitlin Clark on her ass. Because, you know, just the optics of a guy falling down versus a woman getting trucked.
Yeah.
Now, again, I'm not saying she didn't flop, but again, she's a woman.
Thank goodness for cameras. That's what I have to say.
The worst to me, the worst take was Seth Davis, who was like, his brainiac take was, why doesn't this happen in the NBA? I'll tell you why, because the NBA said no court storming. That's why.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I guess. But I mean, like, I must have missed the college student sections that hang out at NBA games right next to the court.
It was a brain dead take. I mean, it was a brain dead take.
If you remove the college atmosphere from the college basketball game, you're left with just a bad version of basketball.
Yeah.
And court storming is a big part of it, which is why they've never changed it, and I don't think they will. Like, Jermaine Burton got to punch a Tennessee Vol fan in the face, and nothing happened in football.
Yeah. There was not even any outcry about it except from Tennessee fans.
I mean, there was a little talk about banning field storming just because it happened like 3 weeks in a row, but yeah, there was nothing to like, hey, this is dangerous for fans and players alike. It was just like, maybe let's stop it. It's getting out of control. But yeah, you know, a woman got punched and we kind of moved over that. Caitlin Clark went down and we talked about it for 2 days. Yet all these guys were up in arms because a Duke player tripped and fell and then lied about it.
Yeah. It's so dumb. It's so tiring. There's just... The Seth Davis take was brain dead. It was brain dead.
And you know he just thought he nailed it, too. He thought he had a point.
In his mind, he's never had a bad thought.
Even when he was trying to sell us his mother's miracle potion that cured cancer.
Brother Andrew asks, would love our thoughts on the baseball team so far this season.
I think they're really good.
Too many cooks in the kitchen in the outfield. There's going to be some good guys that don't play because Robin Villeneuve is going to play every game the way that I see it. I don't know how they're going to be able to keep him off the starting nine, and he can be DH some, but they're going to play Stark some at catcher, which means Peebles will DH. They're just they have a really, really talented outfield. They have
the lineup seems deep, too.
Yeah, lineup is extremely deep. I mean, you got Dalton Bargo is gonna sit the bench a lot of games. I mean, he's gonna pinch hit or whatever, but he's not gonna start in a lot of games, and he's clearly very good. They're very, very deep.
Do we have enough pitching?
Yeah, I don't worry about the third starting pitcher. They're gonna get. I think they're gonna let one of the two true freshmen, Schaefer Dallas, start against Kansas State next week. And I think that will be a really good test for them because, I mean, one of those two guys is going to be the third starting pitcher eventually. And so I think they're going to let one of those two start against Kansas State next week, and which is basically our only decent game until conference play when we open up against Alabama, who is good. Alabama's ranked like 17th. So, yeah, we definitely have enough pitching, especially on the back end. We have enough pitching. We just got to find that third starter.
Feels like a good enough bullpen arms to piece it together, like you said. Yep.
They'll always have an embarrassment of riches in the bullpen, I think.
What are the expectations for the season? Host a super regional, get to Omaha?
I think host super regional, get to Omaha, yes. I think always it's host a regional.
Well, yeah, but super regional is what I'm talking about.
I mean, host a super regional, yeah, my bad. A super regional, I think, is the goal for this team.
Yeah, take your chances.
Yeah. Whatever happens, happens. Brother Davey asks, thoughts on marriage packs?
Kind of depressing to think about, to be honest.
You know, I think people in the Western part of the world take for granted that we get to marry who we choose to marry, thanks to people like Shakespeare making, like, you know, true love, a kind of thing, like where you get to pick your spouse, you know? I mean, it sounds cliche, but things like Romeo and Juliet do matter. You getting to choose who you get to marry, because in a large part of the world that doesn't get to happen. So I think we take that for granted. I don't think we ever think about the fact that there's like millions, hundreds of millions of people who do not get to choose who they marry. And to be fair, those areas of the world make it work. So I'm not saying that, you know, they don't work. I mean, clearly they do work in some cases, but it's obviously better to be able to choose your spouse.
I don't think that's what a marriage pack is.
Oh, my bad. My bad. Was a marriage pact.
We're not talking about arranged marriages. We're talking
about agreeing
to marry your friend if you guys are like 35 and neither one of you are married. Although very nicely said, it is nice that we can promote our own culture while respecting other cultures. I do appreciate that, Seth. But do you have any thoughts about you and a lady friend agreeing to get married if you are both single at 35?
Yeah, that seems a little weird to me.
Deciding to get together and just try to have a couple kids before it's too late. My answer to that would be like it's never too late.
When it comes to insurance, you want someone you can trust. Look, you trust me with your time. You listen to me to laugh, to think, or so that I can make you mad with something I've said. Look, trust the person that I trust when it comes to insurance. John Runyon with Farm Bureau. John is a longtime friend of mine, since junior high actually, and has been my insurance agent the last 4 or 5 years. He will be honest, fair, and maybe most importantly, communicate with you in a timely manner. When I had a rock go through my windshield and needed to make a claim, the process was quick and easy. I had a check mailed to me almost instantly. To see what he can do for you when it comes to home, auto, or life insurance, contact him via phone at 865-982-2559, or you can shoot him an email to get the ball rolling at John, J-O-H-N, dot Runyon, R-U-N-Y-A-N, at F-B-I-T-N.com. That's 865-982-2559, or John.Runyon at F-B-I-T-N.com. John Runyon with Farm Bureau.
Well, we had a good run. We had a good run of all this shit working until all of a sudden it stopped. God damn it. You still there?
Yeah. You froze up for about 10 seconds.
Yeah, I know. It booted me off. It's what it used to do. And I thought I had that shit fixed. Because me and Cody had 2 good podcasts without it happening. Fuck. Let's wrap this up. Give me a couple more questions.
Would you be tricked by an AI advertising promotion into going to a half-empty warehouse for a Willy Wonka event? Asked Jackie, a.k.a. the Law Dog.
Did you see this? What happened?
Yes, I have questions. A question. Why on earth would you go to a Willy Wonka event to begin with? As an adult, that seems very odd.
You don't think it'd be a little magical?
No, I thought just very weird. That it's weird.
Like colorful? The picture's kind of cool. It's not that different than going to like a museum or like going through like a... I don't know, something in like an amusement park, like Epcot or something. I don't know. I thought the pictures kind of looked cool. Yeah. Now, would I go do it? Probably not. But I don't love Willy Wonka like that.
The pictures of the actual event are hysterical.
Like if they had like a Lord of the Rings theme thing where you could go walk through all this grass and see little hobbits and I don't know what else is in Lord of the Rings. Golden rings and shoot some bow and arrows. You wouldn't do like... Want to do one of those events?
Probably not, no. That's a little too LARPy for me.
We never did go to that Comic-Con either, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
That's I was fine. Ready to carry red on my back like Hodor. I don't think I would ever go to this Willy Wonka thing, although I did get got by like an Instagram ad. There was like a traveling like ghost thing that came around. And it looks kind of cool, and I looked at the website, and it was like $60, but you get four drinks. So I was like, you know, at the very least, 4 drinks, $60, to catch a little buzz, whatever. And it wasn't really any ghost stories. It was just, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be, I guess I should say, but it was still fine. But I feel like I got duped a little bit.
Well, they definitely got duped at this, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, imagine walking into that.
I know it's the pictures are incredible. The pictures are amazing.
How mad would you be?
Well, I guess I would be very mad in this sense is because I cared enough to pay to go to a Willy Wonka themed event, and so
you probably have dressed up yourself.
Yeah, you're like a huge Willy Wonka fan.
You're running around with the big blueberry girl.
Yeah,
you've made your wife or girlfriend or. Or friend that you have a marriage pact with, dress up like a blueberry.
For it to look like that, yeah.
The funniest picture was the Oompa Loompa bartender.
Yes, that was the best part. She looked miserable, man. She looked sad.
She's trying to get her life straight. She's a recovering meth addict, and now she's posted online, and they're going to be synonymous. And, you know, kind of, well, damn it, never mind. I was going to say kind of ironically, maybe become suicidal like the Oompa Loompas, but that was the Munchkins in Wizard of Oz. Never mind. Damn it, I thought I had it. Because imagine being that girl and you're the face of that festival.
Yeah.
And everyone's going to roast you for how you look. You do look like a recovering meth head. You ever read about the Munchkins?
No, I've never read about the Munchkins.
Well, there was rumors that they, you know, that one of them was hanging in the background of the Wizard of Oz. You've never seen that rumor before?
Mm-mm, no.
Really? That in the Wizard of Oz, like in a certain scene, it looks like a Munchkin is hanging because he had gotten fired. He, like, commits suicide on the set. I think people have disproven that one. But there are, you know, just stories about them just being drunkards and that they, you know, really harassed and sexually assaulted Judi Dench.
This is taking a dark turn.
Is that her name? Judi Dench?
That sounds right, yeah. Oh, she's in the James Bond movies.
No, I don't think it's Judi Dench. That's who I'm thinking of, but that's not who played the girl in Wizard of Oz, I don't think. What's her name? What the hell is her name? Wizard of Oz cast. Not Judi Dench. What is her name?
Judy Garland.
Judy Garland. Jesus Christ, I call myself a movie fan.
Judi Dench, Judy Garland.
Both named Judy.
Yeah, it's close.
Judy. All right. This has ruined my vibe when the camera and the internet went out. So give me final thoughts on Tennessee's stretch run here.
I expect 3-1.
Lost to whom?
I wouldn't be surprised if they lose to Kentucky but go 3-0 in the others.
Well, that means you've won the SEC. Would you lock that in? Or are you rolling the dice?
In this scenario, we're 3-0 going to Kentucky. I'm going to roll the dice. I saw this stat the other day of like the road games Calipari has won the last couple years, and frankly, there are some games he had no business winning that he's won on the road. They're playing really, really good, and like you said, they're as talented as anybody in the country.
He whipped our ass that year. They won like 9 games.
Yeah.
The year after COVID where they missed the tournament, they still whipped our ass here. But no, you're rolling the dice from this moment, not from 3-0.
Yeah, I would take that. I would take that, yeah.
Because you win the SEC championship.
I think that like it's going to be really hard to win Saturday night, but I wonder if Alabama can play with our physicality.
I like our matchup.
Like we kind of it's going to be tough to win on the road, but I just wonder if they can match up with us physically.
I don't think so. Like, I like our matchup. Would I be surprised if we lost? Obviously not.
Yes, of course.
But I'm going to go into the game thinking we're going to win.
Yeah, for sure.
Are you going?
No, I'm not going. I'm not going.
Sad.
Claire has the flu.
Oh, damn. Sounds like you got it, too.
I don't believe I have it, but she has type A flu and feels like she's been run over, so...
Thoughts and prayers with Claire.
So, yeah.
Well, hopefully this podcast has not been lost. Hopefully it's posted. I'm going to have to abandon and just stick with our Discord posting. If so, I don't know. But, Seth, I love you. I'll talk to you next week. Hopefully we are 2-0. We are 2-0.
I love you as well. Bye-bye.
See you, bye. Free Nationals. You know my daddy was a gangster. And father before him was a dancer. I'm going to learn to escape about these handcuffs. I ain't going to court to see no damn judge. Cock the 4/5, blow knives off the hinge. My security guard big, but inside a punk bitch. Ass nigga use a trick. Nigga use a wankster, wankster. And my pop was a gangster. Fuck that hoe when I need sex. Give me dope when I need neck. Love her more when I'm erect. I reply when I see text. I forgot her, God be vexed. Say no more, my God, say less. God be poppy, I'll be back. Where the tech is stocking that. Don't turn on your thank you cap before I push your shit way back. I'm the nigga, God be vexed. Like that outside where I be at. Hold up. Mo
Most of my memories fade like all my enemies' names. Like the Lion King, I'm went away, I'm just here to reclaim. Sipped on my Hennessy drink, sipped on my Henny. Go on my memory bank till it's in the G side of things. On the street side of things, with a word bad mean 18 kind of thing. And this nigga serving life 18 kind of ways. And that was way before the 18th, by the way. Gangsta. To my perfection, and I smoke with no detection. Baddest hoes in my direction, ain't no hoe in my reflection. I get chicks with my complexion, I'm a pimp. I know you guessed it, can't be bitching, can't be questioned. I got gold in my complexion, pearls and stone in my new necklace. I got hoes for my erection, I got votes for my election. I got hoes for all my brethren, hold up.
You know my daddy was a gangster, and father before him was a damn thug. I'ma learn to escape about these handcuffs. I ain't going to court to see no damn judge.
Sex, give me throat when I need neck. Love her more when I'm erect. I reply when I see text. I forgot her, God be vexed. Say no more, my God, say less. God be poppy, I'll be back. Where the tech is stocking cap. Don't turn on your thinky cap before I push your shit way back. I'm the nigga, copy facts. Like that outside where I be at. Hold up.
The Free Nationals.